You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody. Glenn the Geek back with you, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning for the last 15 years. Welcome to the WESA Retail Roundup. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. Join panel discussions, learn from webinars, share your thoughts, ask questions, and connect with your community. We host a virtual event or share educational content every Monday, just like today, via the Retail Roundup Facebook group. Today's topic may not be as sexy as some of the ones we've talked about before, but I learned the hard way running many businesses through the years how important they are. And I attribute the success of the Horse Radio Network to making sure SOPs and systems were in place from the beginning. So today, it's all about SOPs, standard operating procedure, and why you need them and how to implement them no matter the size of your business. Joining us today is Neil Potter of Improving Your Small Business. From customer service to shipping, Neil shares where SOPs matter most and how to create systems your team will actually use. That's one of the hardest parts of this whole conversation we're going to talk about today. So first of all, Neil, tell us about your company, Improving Your Small Business.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Glenn, for having me. I'm delighted to be here. My company works with small businesses of any kind to improve their operation, typically sales, quality issues, inventory management, defining SOPs, and organizational change.
So where are you located?
I'm in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, good. Yeah, we just had a conference there last week.
So. Okay.
So what for somebody running a small business that may have not dealt with the term SOPs before, what is it? You know, can you give us an idea of what an SOP is and kind of define it and what impact it has on your business?
Yeah, so SOP is really a way to define company best practices and maybe that cover a single task or a group of tasks and then have a way then to convey and retain that knowledge to the staff. So a lot of companies will run particularly efficiently, but when the new people come on board, things are going to break down. And so an SOP is a way to capture that knowledge by the people that know it and a way to refer and convey that knowledge to the remaining staff. It's also a way to make work visible. So if you have maybe a back office function, maybe marketing or accounting or something, and that back office function is kind of broken, there are problems and issues, then an SOP is a way to give visibility to those steps and then kind of decipher where the breakage points are and to fix it. And I would say a third benefit to a company is to allow the boss to do boss things and the staff to do staff things. If the boss finds him or herself having to get involved in everything to get it complete or done, they delegate and then they basically have to get involved to complete the activity, that would show that the knowledge of that person is not particularly well conveyed to the staff, and therefore they end up doing all jobs versus the boss job. So basically it's a way to capture this corporate memory or company memory of how really good things are going to work so they can refer back to that in the future.
And I think where a lot of companies get in trouble too, and I did with, you know, in the past when I wasn't so good at this, was the boss, and especially in a situation like we have a lot of tax shops that'll have a boss and four or five employees, right?
Yeah.
It's small, right? Under 10. And the boss gets hurt or is out for a period of time for whatever reason. And now nobody knows what to do because nothing's written down.
Yeah.
And I think even your job as the boss needs to have SOPs around it. So if you're not there for whatever reason, your manager or your assistant manager can pick that book up or, you know, go to that software and know exactly what to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where you get in trouble. So how do you start, you know, how minute do you break down the separate SOPs? Is there one big SOP? Is there 1,000 little SOPs? How do you organize that mess?
You know? Yeah, it's a good question because you don't want to get overwhelmed in SOP writing. If, for example, you were to have everybody in the company write SOPs for their particular area and give them no guidance of how to do that, you could end up with volumes of stuff that nobody ever looks at. And that would be, I think, a mistake. So what I would do and what I have companies do is first identify maybe 2 to 3 areas of the business that need that visibility. Maybe because there have been mistakes in the past. Maybe they're very cumbersome areas. And so
can we use an example? Returns is a perfect example.
Returns, yeah. Order fulfillment and returns, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, inventory control and returns. And so knowing what you have in stock, what was returned, what was broken, where it should be located, where to place it, how to account for it would be a good example.
When to give a refund and when not to?
When not to, yes, exactly. Yeah. And so let's take that example there. So if I was in a business, a small business, I would identify maybe 2 to 3 areas of concern in the business, things that are broken or clunky, and then write an SOP just for those things. I'd also limit the SOP to one page. So a one-page checklist. I would not use narrative text or long paragraphs. We're going to write the SOP at an expert level, not beginner level, and then raise the staff's knowledge to that expert level.
That's interesting.
And so we don't want the people are beginners at the beginning and only the beginning. And after they acquire the knowledge how to do something correctly, they can live at expert mode. So we're going to write the procedure at expert mode. And so I would limit it to one page, a one-page checklist. And basically then when you have the first draft, you're mentoring people how to use it so they can their knowledge level rises and they can then use it correctly. So one page is easy to write, easy to update, easy to read, and easy to use. So what I would also do then is look at the area we tackled, maybe returns and inventory control, and then pick out a few of the problems we had back then and make sure the checklist addresses those. So the checklist is now at the essential step level, essential task level. It's one page, bullet point, or kind of checklist style. And the problems we've had in the past are then looked at, and the checklist then addresses those. So when returns come in, you know, are they broken? Are they just returned because the person didn't like it? Is it over 60 days or 90 days, or what is the time period? And so basically we have a checklist now that may detail that little bit in a few more steps, because you have to decipher what to do with the return or how to account for it. But the basic steps of the inventory control are fitting one page.
Do you put exceptions? Like let's keep with returns. So do you also have a section of exceptions, or is that something you don't deal with in an SOP?
Oh, I think you want the SOP. You want the staff to be self-sufficient eventually, and not have to rely on the big boss or the boss for all the answers. We were trying to make them company best practice. So if exceptions are a key part of how to handle the return, then I would say, yes, put some of the exceptions in there, because that exception is going to occur maybe more often than pure exception. And you want the staff member to know how to handle that.
Is there a software to help? We're still at the beginning of writing this. So is there software to help you with this?
When I help people either do or they do SOPs, I'm having them focus on the content of the SOP and the kind of checklist style. And I recommend they use whatever they have in the network now. So if they have Microsoft Word or Excel or a kind of note app, I recommend they use that. There are SOP apps out there, applications out there, but they can become a distraction. They end up formatting things and making fancy diagrams. And that is not the essence of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to run the business better. So in all the cases over the years I've worked with people, they've never used a fancy application.
They're usually whatever. More complicated than you can figure out anyway.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, and that's the part of the energy of fixing the company goes into learning the tool and how you don't like the tool. And so, if you like the idea, and my preference would be the one-page checklist idea, then all the tools you have in your network already do that. So you just open up a notes app or a text app or a Word app, Excel or something like that, and then I think you're good to go. And I've never seen anybody need any more than that. Now, some companies I work with have fancier tools like Bitbucket and Jira and Confluence and SharePoint, and because their whole company kind of runs that way, maybe they're a bigger group of people, and they may use those fancier tools because they have them, but in essence, they're still word processing tools.
So where in the old days, we used to keep you'd print them out. Each SOP would be printed out and put in the book, right?
Yeah.
What do you recommend that, especially small businesses, let's use retail here for an example.
Yeah,
what do you recommend? Because your cashier might need it, and the cashier on the computer may not have access to get to it actually on the checkout computer, right?
Well, I think you should put the SOP exactly where that person is. So if they're in the back room, maybe it's a big poster size, checklist blown up on the back room. If it's on the cash register, It's subtler, smaller, maybe smaller font, right below the cash register. So it should be in a place where the person that's going to use it has immediate access to it all the time.
So as a business owner, this takes time. And one of the, you know, the enemy of every business owner is what? Time, right? Time's our biggest enemy. Yeah. So creating these in the first place just seems like such a hassle when you own a business and you're trying to sell stuff and make money and put, you know, pay the employees and everything. It just seems like a hassle.
Yeah.
And that's why we don't do it. Right. And that's so what I found was when I started, for example, the Horse Radio Network, we did it from the beginning because we knew if, you know, producing one show was one thing, producing 80 episodes a month was going to be a different thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we needed, you know, we needed operations. We needed standardized. But I'm already in business. I've been in 2 years and I'm tackling this and I'm overwhelmed as a business owner anyway. How do I mean, just start with one. Start, as you said, with the area that's the most troublesome.
Yeah. Start with one and get good at it. Get some momentum about how to do the checklist. Involve the right staff, the people that are going to use it, and the people that know the information that should go into it. Limit it to one page so you know by the end of the one page you're done. Limit it to bullet points, no fancy paragraphs. They take a while to edit and parse and kind of a grammar check. And then within maybe 30 to 60 minutes, an hour, try it out. Actually, you just say, well, we've got our first draft here of how the returns should be handled and stock control. Let's just apply it to a return and see what happens. Okay, so within an hour and a half, you actually may have a 80% complete checklist or SOP to handle that. Now, it may take a few more runs to work out all the kinks and deal with the exceptions and other situations. But the hour and a half you spend doing that is going to pay back immediately because you know that's the biggest area of concern. That's where 2 hours go every time when there's a return to handle, you know, or 1 hour. And so you're going to get payback immediately. So I would go very small with a few focused areas, things that are really going to help you gain time back after a while. And then maybe after 3 or 4 areas, you're kind of done. Okay, so it doesn't have to be extensive or it doesn't have to be covering every aspect of the business.
Kind of, you know, getting employees to actually use them is the kind of the next step, right?
Yeah.
What's your advice on that?
A couple of things. I think, firstly, the time people use it is when they have a personal benefit out of it. So, for example, if the employee uses the SOP and they can do their job correctly first time, and they get to go home when they want to go home at the time they should be going home versus working the evening to repair something or not coming in the weekend to resurrect the bookkeeping that went into disarray or the, you know, the returns that were piled up in the corner. I think the motivation for the employer, the time they're going to use it, is when they find it truly valuable and they get a better benefit themselves in their particular role by using it. So they may get more transactions done per day, more sales, less overtime or unplanned overtime. It's going to fix things that have gone bad. That's the motivation, is when they have a personal benefit of that SOP.
And you know, when you're customer-facing employee and you don't, there's a situation that comes up and you really don't know what you're supposed to do and have no guidance at all, that's the worst situation to be in as an employee because you don't know whether you're going to make the right decision or not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Has there been studies that show that companies that have effective SOPs, what percentage less mistakes and things like that? Is there studies about that?
I haven't seen studies on retail outlets. I've been working at with SOPs in different organizations, both engineering, big organizations, and small businesses for quite a while. And so they measure rework rates, you know, how many hours are spent on mistakes and problems. And they may be getting that down to 5 or 6%, maybe from 50%. And they measure throughput, how many things they can get done of a similar nature over time. So, yeah, there's some. I have some informal data about how people have done this. I think the biggest issue is where the company knows they have less problems over time. They can get their staff to perform correctly first time without having to, you know, handhold them, mentor them all the time and repair things.
So you get hired as a consultant to take a look at a business. Can you tell immediately by the issues that the SOPs are not correct or non-existent or outdated? Can you just tell?
I can, if I ask for them, and they don't know where they are, I can tell.
That's one sign.
And that actually, they may know they exist because they may have been somewhere. And if they show me an SOP and it's more than a couple of pages long, more than a handful of pages long, there's probably likely they're not using it because it's just too voluminous to use. I would say that the triggers that I typically look at when people need to work on SOP, new staff making mistakes. So new staff have come in and you see more errors and problems in the company and the retail outlet than before. I think another one is where the boss has to get involved to get work done versus delegating work and having work done correctly. The boss is having to get involved to get work done. I think a third area where SOPs are worthy of resurrecting or working on is where handoffs are a problem. And so salesperson sells, but doesn't hand off the information correctly to fulfillment person. And they do their bit and they don't hand it off correctly to accounting. And they do their bit and they don't hand off correctly to order fulfillment. Okay? And so everybody's kind of scrambling in these handoffs between kind of point A, point B, and point C. So if you see that kind of problem in a company, you know there's either an SOP not used or an SOP that is so cumbersome to use, people kind of don't use it. And I would say the last one is that work is taking longer than you expect. So you delegate a task in the company, and it should take an hour, but it takes 3 hours, okay? It should take a week, it takes 3 weeks, because the person is just kind of left stranded trying to figure out kind of what to do. So the knowledge of the experienced person that would make it go quicker is not being conveyed correctly to the new person, and therefore they can't go quicker. So again, there are some key indicators, I'll say, that are going to show you that the SOP system is either not there or is there and not being used.
Even for myself as the business owner, right?
Yeah.
You know, we started in podcasting when podcasting wasn't a thing. Nobody knew anything about it. We invented this space 18 years ago. So one of the things that I found as a business owner of businesses over the years is you almost need SOPs for yourself for those things that you don't do very often. Because when you go back to do that thing, whether it's updating the website or whatever it is, right? Creating a new show, I had to put SOPs together because I didn't do it every day. It was maybe once every 6 months. And then I would have to like learn it all over again, which took 10 times more time than if I had written down in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think business owners need that for themselves, for their own tasks, so that they don't have to relearn it every time they do that task you don't do very often.
Yeah, particularly non-recurring activities, things that you're going to forget about the details, and then a mistake is very expensive or very time-consuming. Then SOPs, again, that's why I prefer the one page, because it could even be a half a page. All you're doing is putting what you now know as the best practice that you just completed and having a good way to record that for future use. So,
no matter what conference I speak at and do talks or keynote or another talk, I always start with time's your enemy. And that's the SOPs help you save that time, because time is your biggest enemy. It's not money. It's not anything else. It's time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I don't care what level you're at, right? In the management, time's always your enemy.
Sure.
How can I worked for one company that was very good at SOPs, and they had a master SOP Excel file that basically had a list by department of and every SOP that existed and where to find it.
Okay.
And I've worked for places that we're not even very good at that. I've got to be honest, that master sheet. But the master sheet, now this is reminding me to do this, by the way, that master sheet was so handy, because a lot of times you don't even know that there was an SOP.
Exactly,
And everybody had access to the areas that they were in charge of, and they knew exact that there was one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you kind of get lost to whether you even have one or don't even remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in that particular area, most of the companies I work with do an orientation session. So there is an SOP list provided to them. And so when they join, we recognize they don't know what the company knows about how to do things. And so they will be given the list of SOPs to where to find them. Again, a list, a one-page checklist of one-page checklists, and then maybe a mentor in their particular area of operation, which could be sales or back office, and then they know where things are. So they may get an annual refresher, a reminder of what kind of has changed and where things actually are now.
How often should a manager take a look at the SOPs to see, make sure they're updated and that kind of thing? Is it once a year thing? Is it a lot more? Depends on the business.
I think, well, I've got a few triggers that I would look for when to update something. I think one is that errors that were fixed before, mistakes that were fixed before, reoccur. And so that tells you an SOP was doing great for a while and now is not doing great for some reason. I think another one is the staff try to use an SOP but give up. So the SOP may be too old. It refers to systems that don't exist anymore or data that doesn't exist anymore because the apps have changed and the OS has changed and the hardware's changed. And so the SOPs are required to be updated because they struggle, you're going to using them. I think obviously on getting people onboarded would be a kind of time to use it. If nothing has changed, I would do an annual lessons learned. One way to get SOPs used is to make sure they are reflecting what people have learned about. And so even the new people, they have skills and they have knowledge and they've learned maybe different ways to do things, maybe even better ways. So putting the SOP at least under a minimal annual update, kind of like a lessons learned update, could take a half an hour, is a way to also reflect the new knowledge of the employee that we may not have even had before, kind of how to do something. So then you know the SOPs are relevant.
And in bigger companies with departments, that comes back to the department manager at that point?
Say again? Department.
So bigger companies that have departments, that would come back to the department manager level to do that for his own department?
Yeah, to trigger the investigation of SOPs. One thing that really helps is when a manager, it could be a boss in a smaller company, or it could be in a bigger company, is when they focus on the SOPs as the source of knowledge, then people, the staff, kind of know they're serious. And so if the manager refers to the SOP, either to use it, critique it, or train people, and they go through this annual refresh, then the staff actually then know it's important. Because if the big boss refers to it, then that's kind of where he or she wants the people to refer to. So yeah, I would say the big boss, whatever level, will be one of the triggers for the annual update.
Got it. We talked about motivating employees to use them, but the other side of that too is by having SOPs, if you have an employee that you're particularly having difficulties with, it does give you some protections in that, you know, the way you were supposed to do it or what you were supposed to do was written down. So, you know, and you weren't following the directions, that gives you an out to come back at the employee too. It gives you some protection for those employee situations that aren't good all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that works well if they are well-trained. Now, of course, if the SOP exists and the staff are not trained in it, then the defense kind of falls apart at that point. But yes, if the goal of getting the company to run correctly all the time, if they're trained and the SOPs are accurate, then yes, you have a bit of a defense if the if the SOP is not followed correctly.
Yeah. So in wrapping this up, what would you tell the small company, the medium-sized manufacturer, the small retailer? What's the first step? What should they take away from this? You know, I always say when I go to conference, you've been to 1,000 conferences like I have, right?
Yeah.
And I always say that you come home with a whole, you know, we have a whole list of things you've learned at the conference. And I tell people that go to these podcasting conferences, whatever they are, take the one thing you can actually implement next week. What's the one thing out of that whole list that you're actually going to do? Because if you take a look at the list as a whole, you're going to do none of it. So what's the one thing today that they should take away from this?
Good question. Pick one area of concern. It may not be the big boss's area of concern, maybe the staff's area of concern. They don't know how to do the restocking or the inventory control. Pick one area of concern, limit it to one page, involve the staff in the creation of that one page. So you're getting buy-in immediately of what's understood, what is not understood, how things should work, and then kind of try it out. And they're just going to see the benefit over maybe a month of having that one page work correctly. And then from that motivation, that kind of momentum, then pick the second thing. I think you'll find quickly that you can do these. They're not that complicated. The benefits are immediate. As soon as the one page is done, the benefits are immediate. And then you can pick and choose a few other areas. What I would not do is try to boil the ocean and do everything. I've seen so many companies, they go to it, they learn about SOPs, and they come back and they say, everybody's going to have an SOP. All staff will make an SOP for their own work and will put it in a big binder and then life will be good. That is the worst thing you can do, I think. It's overwhelming. There's no guidance for the individual how to do it. They're going to start writing pages and pages and things that are not going to get used. And then the whole thing kind of collapses under its own weight. So I would say the first thing to do, or the thing to do, is be very focused on a few areas, do them sequentially, get them to work, and use the success of the first one to motivate the second one.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be done overnight. You've been in business all these years, right, without them. So, you know, if it takes you a year to get the SOPs done, that's fine, right? It's you'll get them done if you take it bite by bite and not the whole
thing. And I would say, this is one page. Give it a week. Have the first few rounds done of the testing after a week, and then you're good to go. I mean, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Now, if you were to write a 20-page memo of how to do the job, it's going to take a month or 2 months, and people are going to procrastinate. But if you can get them together for an hour and hash out the one page, I think you can see success very quickly.
So KISS applies here. That's what I get out of this whole conversation. KISS, keep it simple.
KISS always applies.
Yes, keep it simple. Okay. You know, we tend to in business want to overcomplicate everything. It's just human nature.
I think in the SOP world, people tie their self-worth to how many words they write. So if they're told to write an SOP, then to be valuable or seem to be valuable, the more words, the better. Here's my 100-page SOP. And so, of course, that helps them on the value scale a little bit because they have more words, but not on the usefulness scale. So I try to have people recognize we're trying to run the business better here, not demonstrate our value to the company, how many words we can write. And therefore, I limit it to one page.
That's interesting observation. That's interesting. I can see myself having been guilty of that at a time.
Okay, good.
I think all of us, right? I mean, again,
correct,
that's human nature, right?
Yeah.
Well, this has been fantastic. Where can people contact you and tell everybody exactly how you can help companies?
Yeah, so there is a website, improvingyoursmallbusiness.com, or one word. And on there, there's a contact page. And on the contact page, there's a form you can fill out with a question. You can either email me directly or call me, text me. And I'd be more than happy to answer people's questions after the podcast.
And there's a lot of good information on the website, too. It's well done.
Well, thank you. There's a YouTube channel it points to, and there are articles, and I put them up every month, so...
Yeah, the articles are great. There's a lot of good information. You could just hang around in there and learn stuff. It's terrific.
That's a great idea.
Yep. All right, good. Well, thank you for joining us today, Neil. We really appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for joining us at the WESA Retail Roundup. If you missed part of this, it will also be available on the WESA podcast at Wisdom by WESA on your podcast player, and also on the WESA Trade Show YouTube channel and on the WESA website at wesatradeshow.com. Of course, the next trade show is coming up in August in Dallas, your hometown.
Okay.
So that's when the next trade show will be. I should be in for that. So we're hoping to meet a bunch of you while we're there. And the next retail roundup will be on Monday. What's next Monday? I don't know what next Monday is. Let me look. It is the 26th. I can't believe it's May 26th already. Oh, holiday next week, I'm hearing in the background. So there will not be one next week. It's May 26th, so it'll be the following week on the 2nd when we're back here. So be sure to sign up live by going to the Retail Roundup Facebook group and the WESATradeshow.com. Thanks, Neil. And now,
thank
everybody,
you.
Get out and write your first SOP. Get it done.
Thank you. Take care.